Living Fiction. Northwestern University, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, brings you a radio dramatization of another timeless story, The Devil and Daniel Webster, by Stephen Vincent Benet. Another in a series of Living Fiction.
Yep, Daniel Webster's dead. At least they buried him. But every time there's a thunderstorm around here, they say you can hear his rolling voice in the hollows of the sky. And they say if you go to his grave and speak loud and clear...
Daniel Webster! Daniel Webster! Hello, neighbor! Hello, Mr. Webster! How do you do, sir?
Fine, neighbor, fine. Well, tell me, son, the devil been bothering the people around these parts lately?
No, sir. Not for a long time.
The folks that knew said Daniel Webster was just about the greatest man that ever lived. Now, he never got to be president, but he was the biggest man. There were thousands that trusted in him right next to God Almighty. And they told stories about him and all the things that belonged to him. They were like the stories of patriarchs and such. They said when he stood up to speak, stars and stripes came right out in the sky. And once he spoke against a river, and he made it sink right into the ground. They said when he walked the woods with his fishing rod, the trout would jump out of the streams right into his pockets, for they knew it was no use putting up a fight against him. And when he argued a case, he could turn on the harps of the blessed and the shaking of the ground underneath. A man with a mouth like a mastiff, a brow like a mountain, and eyes like burning anthracite. That was Daniel Webster in his prime. They tell a story down Hampshire way about Daniel Webster and the time he met the devil. Seems there was a farmer named Jabez Stone. Now, he wasn't a bad man to start with, but he sure was an unlucky man. If he planted corn, he got boars. If he planted potatoes, he got blight. He had good enough land, but it just didn't prosper him. He had a decent wife and children, but the more children he had, the less there was to feed him with. Stones cropped up in his neighbor's field, boulders boiled up in his. Why, if he had a horse with the spavins, he'd trade it for one with the staggers and give something extra. Yes, there's some folks bound to be like that. But one day, Jabez Stone got sick of the whole business. He'd been plowing that morning.
Darn it all. That's the third time this week, and a new plowshare it was. Now it's enough to make a man want to sell his soul to the devil. I swear it is. And I would, too, for just 2 cents. What was that?
Now, neighbor, don't get excited. Just a burst of thunder.
But there's not a cloud in the sky. Say, who are you, anyway? Where do you come from? What are you doing here?
Easy, friend. One question at a time. Who am I? I guess men have their own private renames for me. But you can call me Scratch. Where did I come from? Anywhere beneath the gates of heaven.
Anywhere beneath the... What do you mean?
Very well. Let us say I just came down from the hills. Mighty nice farm you have here, neighbor. Oh, a little rocky, perhaps. But I've seen lots of worse places down where I come from.
Mighty nice farm. If you had all the bad luck I've had, you'd be willing to sell your soul to the devil.
Those are strong words, sir. And never can tell when the devil might hear you.
I wish to heaven he could. I swear I'd sell my soul to him for 2 cents.
2 cents isn't much. It wouldn't even replace that broken plowshare.
How did you know it was broken?
Oh, I'm quite a farmer myself. Only my farming is a little different. More of the hothouse variety. But that's quite another story. Still, neighbor, 2 cents isn't very much for a good soul. Even an old moth-eaten soul would bring a better price.
But this bad luck keeps following me. I won't even have a moth-eaten soul to my name.
If that's the case, my friend, I suggest that you sell your soul while the market rate is high. Now, I have a friend who'd be willing to spend $200 for a soul like yours.
Bring your friend here, and it's a deal.
I'm afraid that wouldn't be possible. You see, my friend doesn't do business in person. He's kind of shy. But I'm his sort of agent. I think we can arrange a little deal.
Fine. Give me the $200.
Not so fast, my friend. There are a few legal formalities required in the state of New Hampshire. I have here a document. Not only does it give you $200 down, but it will permit you to become the richest man in New Hampshire.
That's foolish. How can I become the richest man in New Hampshire? Especially with a broken plowshare.
My dear fellow, my client is prepared to give anything for your soul. Now, just hold out your finger.
Oh!
Sorry, I had to prick your finger. Now, just press your finger against this document. Ah, the laws of the state of New Hampshire and the earth beneath have been complied with. Excellent. A firm, fair signature. One that will last till doomsday. Neighbor, I congratulate you. There is nothing in New Hampshire which cannot be yours.
Fine. Then let the devil take my soul.
He will, sir. He will, sir, in due time.
I can't understand it. Jabez Stone built a new house for his family.
I wonder where Mrs. Stone gets all the money she spends. Why, just the other day.
An honest man just can't get as rich as Jabez Stone, especially in New Hampshire.
Jabez Stone, he's awfully rich, isn't he?
Richest man in New Hampshire.
He's up to no good.
I wouldn't be surprised if he sold his soul to the devil.
Finest farm in New England. 2 new barns. A new house. 100 head of cattle coming in tomorrow. Yep, life's been good to me these past 6 years. Couldn't ask for anything more.
Excuse me, neighbor. Could you tell me the way to the farm of Jabez Stone?
Why, I don't know. It's a...
Why, Jabez Stone. I hardly recognized you. Mighty pretty property you have here.
Well, some might favor it and others might not.
Come, my dear fellow. No need to decry your industry. After all, we know what's been done. It's been according to contract and specifications. My client has been most kind.
Who? What are you doing?
So when the mortgage falls due next year, you shouldn't have any regrets.
Speaking of that mortgage, Mr.
Scratch will do.
Mr. Scratch, I'm beginning to have 1 or 2 doubts about it.
Doubts?
Why, yes. This being the USA and me always having been a religious man. Yes, sir, I'm beginning to have considerable doubts as to that mortgage holding up in court.
In court?
Yes, Mr. Scratch, in court.
Well, now, there's court and court. Still, we might as well have a look at the original document. Let me see. Sherwin Slater Stevens Stone. Here we are. I, Jabez Stone, for a term of 7 years. Oh, it's quite in order, I think. I assure you, neighbor, that a doc...
It's escaped again. Come back here. Come back here. Into the box.
Neighbor Stone. Neighbor Stone. Help me. Please help me, neighbor.
There. I got it.
Sorry for the interruption, neighbor. Now, as I was saying...
But that was Miser Stevens' voice. You captured it in your handkerchief and put it back into that box.
Well, yes. I hardly thought it necessary to put a lock on the collecting box. It was such a weak little soul.
I don't know what you mean. That was Miser Stevens' voice, and he ain't dead. You can't tell me he is. He was just as spry and mean as a woodchuck yesterday.
In the midst of life...
Oh, no!
Yes.
The church bell's tolling for Miser Stevens.
Yes, these long-standing accounts. One really hates to lose them. But business is business.
Are all the souls as small as that?
Small? Oh, I see what you mean. Why, they vary. But don't you worry, Mr. Stone. Yours is a very good grade of soul. You'll have to be kept under lock and key. Now, a man like Daniel Webster, for instance, why, we'd have to build a special box for him. And even then, I imagine the wingspread would astonish you. But in your case, as I was saying...
Well, put that handkerchief away!
Now, neighbor, no need to get excited. I just came around to see if my client was living up to his half of the bargain. He is, too. Isn't he, Mr. Stone? I'll see you again next year at this very same time. Until then, Mr. Stone, do as many good deeds as you can. My client and I get better souls that way. Mr. Stone! Well, no matter. I must be on my way.
Now, till you've made a bargain like that one, you've no idea how fast a year can run. It seemed like it was only a week before the time was up. Till finally, Jabez Stone couldn't stand it any longer. And in the last evening of the year, he hitched up his horse and drove off to see Dan'l Webster. For Dan'l was born in New Hampshire, and it's well known that he had a particular soft spot for old neighbors.
Well, that's the story then, Mr. Webster. And I'm ashamed to tell it. But it had to be told to somebody, and who else should it be but you?
Well, I haven't pleaded a mortgage case in a long time, and I don't generally plead now except before the Supreme Court. But if I can, I'll help you.
Oh, then I've got hope for first time in 7 years. Oh, it's been awful, awful. The name of Jabez Stone has become known all over the state. I've been that prosperous. There's talk of running me for the governor. Just dust and ashes in my mouth.
You certainly have given yourself the devil's own row to hoe, Neighbor Stone. But I'll take your case.
You'll take it?
Yes. I've been working on some speeches to make to John C. Calhoun, and I've got 75 other things to do and the Missouri Compromise to straighten out. But I'll take your case. For if two New Hampshiremen aren't a match for the devil, we might as well give the country back to the Indians. Now, when is he coming?
Tonight, at midnight.
Where?
At my house.
Now then we'll have no time to waste. You came here in a hurry, didn't you?
Well, I admit I'd made time.
Well, you'll go back faster. Wilbur, hitch up Constitution and Constellation to the carriage. They're a pair of matched grays, Mr. Stone, and they step like greased lightning.
Kill these horses, Mr. Webster.
No, I won't. Not these two. I like doing things full tilt, and so do they. Put fire in your veins.
Oh, there goes my hat.
What do you care? It isn't your soul, Jabez. We've still got that.
Still out of breath from that ride, Mr. Webster.
You'll recover, Neighbor Stone. Take a drink, man, while we're waiting for our friend to appear. There's no better company than a jug.
He'll be here soon.
Your clock only says 11:30.
Oh, Mr. Webster, listen. For God's sake, Mr. Webster, harness your horses and get away from this place as fast as you can.
You brought me a long way, neighbor, to tell me that you don't like my company.
Oh, miserable wretch that I am. I brought you a devilish way, and now I see my folly. Let him take me if he wills. But you're the Union strength in New Hampshire's pride. He mustn't get you, Mr. Webster. He mustn't get you.
I'm obliged to your neighbor Stone. There's a jug on the table and a case in hand. And I never left a jug or a case half finished in my life. Huh? I thought your clock was a trifle slow, neighbor Stone. Come in. Now, Jabez.
Mr. Webster, I presume.
Attorney of record for Jabez Stone. Might I ask your name?
Well, I've gone by a good many. Perhaps Scratch will do for the evening. Mr. Scratch. I'm often called that in these regions. You know the object of my errand.
I do.
Well, then, I shall call upon you as a law-abiding citizen to assist me in taking possession of my property.
That is the nature of my errand here, too, this evening, Scratch. You shall not have this man.
What then of the contract?
I have seen no contract.
Then here it is. Here is the deed, and here is the signature.
It can't be right.
But it is.
What will you take for that deed, just as it stands?
I'll take what I came for. The soul of Jabez Stone.
Now, wait a minute, man. This deed was made out some time ago when the property was worth so much less it can't hold now.
But it does.
No, wait. Jabez Stone is no longer a poor farmer. The property has increased in value, and Jabez, why, state senators ought to be worth
what
more.
What have I to do with oughts and should-bes? I'm surprised at you, Daniel Webster. Stick to the letter of the law.
Do not put me off. I tell you, you shall not have this man's soul. Do you hear me?
These spirited efforts on behalf of your client do you credit, Mr. Webster. But if you have no more argument to adduce, I'm rather pressed for time.
Rest or not, you shall not have this man. Mr. Stone is an American citizen, and no American citizen may be forced into the service of a foreign prince. We fought England for that in 1812, and we'll fight all hell for it again.
Foreign? And who calls me a foreigner?
Well, I never heard of the devil claiming American citizenship.
No. And who with better right? When the first wrong was done to the first Indian, I was there. When the first slave ship put out for the Congo, I stood on her deck. Am I not in your books and stories and beliefs from the first settlements on? Am I not spoken of still in every church in New England? Though 'tis true the North claims me as a southerner, and the South for a northerner. But I am neither, for I am merely an honest American like yourself, and one of the best descent. But to tell the truth, Mr. Webster, though I don't like to boast of it, my name is older in this country than yours.
Ah, then I stand on the Constitution. I demand a trial from the client.
The case hardly is one for an ordinary court, and indeed, the lateness of the
hour... Let it be any court you choose, so long as it is an American judge and an American jury. Let it be the quick or the dead. I'll abide the issue.
Very well, you have said it. I need but clap my hands and you have your judge and jury.
In God's name, who comes by so late? Who are these men?
The jury, Mr. Webster demands. You must pardon the rough appearance of one or two. They've come a long way.
By heaven.
Do you know them?
It is plain who they are. Men who have long since sold themselves to the devil. There's Walter Butler, the loyalist, who spread fire and horror through the Mohawk Valley. And there's Simon Girty, the renegade, who saw white men burned at the stake. There's King Philip with a great gash in his head that gave him his death wound. And there's Morton of Merrymount, who so vexed the Plymouth colony with the hate of the godly. And Leech, the bloody pirate, with a black beard curling on his breast. And see, there comes Reverend John Smeat with his strangler's hands, walking as daintily as he did to the gallows.
Look, the red ring of the rope is still round his neck.
Yes, Scratch has told the truth. They have all played a part in America.
Good evening, Mr. Beelzebub.
Scratch is my name here, Simon.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
Good evening, Simon. This is Simon Girty, Mr. Webster. He burned men for gold.
Good evening, Mr. Girty.
Come, Simon. Say hello to Mr. Webster.
Good evening, Mr. Webster.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
Good evening, Captain. This is Captain Kidd, Mr. Webster. He killed men for gold.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
Good evening, Governor. This is Governor Dale, Mr. Webster. He was a sort of politician. He broke men on the wheel.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
And this is Asa the Black Monk, Mr. Webster. He choked men to death.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
These men, Mr. Webster, are not as well known as those I've introduced. But have no fear, they are, shall we say, lost and violent souls. This is the jury, Mr. Webster. More dead than quick, I'm afraid. Are you satisfied with the jury, sir?
Quite satisfied. Though I miss General Arnold from the company.
Benedict Arnold is engaged upon other business. You asked for a justice, I believe.
Good evening, Mr. Scratch.
Good evening, Justice. Justice Hawthorne is a man of experience. He presided at certain witch trials held in Salem. There are others who repented of the business later, but not he.
Repent of such notable wonders and undertakings? Nay, hang them all! Hang them all!
There you have them, Mr. Webster. Americans all! Justice, shall we proceed with the case?
As you say, as you say. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. The Court of Appeals midway between chaos and night is now in session. Justice Hawthorne presiding.
First case,
the Devil versus Jabez Stone.
Who appears for the plaintiff?
I, Your Honor.
And for the defendant?
I, Daniel Webster.
The prosecution will proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Gentlemen of the jury, this case need not detain us long. It concerns a violation of a contract. That contract is for the possession of the soul of Jabez Stone. I have here a document which provides for transfer of possession. I offer the deed in evidence and seek to market Exhibit A.
I object. This document is not recognized
Objection
by my...
Objection overruled. Market Exhibit A.
I shall now call the defendant to the witness stand.
Jabez Stone to the witness stand.
Ah, that's it. Just sit right there, Mr. Stone. Don't be afraid of the jury.
No, sir.
They're here to see that justice is done.
Yes, sir.
Now, tell me, Jabez Stone, did you or did you not sign this document?
I did, but that is, I didn't
Thank
know
you,
that...
Mr. Stone. That will be all. You may leave the stand now. Prosecution, rest.
Very well. Does the jury wish to consider the case further?
No!
Very well, that will be all. May take the defendant, Mr. Scratch.
I object, Your Honor. I call for cross-examination. By all the laws of New Hampshire, I demand the right to cross-examine this witness.
There will be no cross-examination in the Court of Appeals midway between chaos and night. You may leave the court.
One moment, Justice. One moment. Attorney for the defense, Daniel Webster, is a famous man. Perhaps what he might say here is worth remembering. I suggest that he be given an opportunity to speak. With one qualification, of course. If he fails to secure an acquittal for his client, then let me take them both. Jabez Stone and Daniel Webster together.
The court finds the suggestion reasonable. Is acceptable to you, Mr. Webster?
Yes. Yes, we'll meet the devil's own terms.
Drag him down with Jabez Stone.
Drag him down with us.
Daniel Webster met his match.
Lost and gone.
Drag him down.
Lost and gone. Lost and gone.
Be still! Gentlemen of the jury, as I stand here midway between chaos and night, I remember other days. Days that you remember, too. You were living then. Now, you're dead. White flesh hanging on loosely hung bones. But, gentlemen, I ask you to forget that you are here to judge a fellow being who has sinned just as you have sinned. Your souls are no longer your own, but you have not forgotten the days when they were. Remember that day, gentlemen. That day when you were men, when clean American air was in your lungs. You breathed it deep. For it was free and blew across the earth your love. These are common things I speak of, small things, yet they're good things. Yet without your soul, they're nothing. Mr. Scratch told you your soul is nothing and you believed him. It's cost you your freedom. All of you were fooled like Jabez Stone. You took the wrong turn and so did Jabez Stone. But he found out in time. He's here tonight to save his soul. Remember, oh, remember, gentlemen, the things that used to be.
of the warmth. You, Simon Girty, you remember. Tell us, Simon, what do you remember?
I remember. I think of the wind rustling through the trees and the night air hitting me hard. Hitting me so hard it feels like my chest is breaking inside me. I remember. Yes, I do.
Simon Girty hasn't forgot. He hasn't forgot that freedom is the bread and the morning and the rising sun. He knows what it is to be a man. Oh, there's sadness in being a man, yes, but it's a proud thing, too. Remember it proudly, gentlemen, even though you are no longer men. Look at Jabez Stone. In him, you live. But if you condemn him as others have condemned you, you die. Remember. Oh, remember, gentlemen. You remember, don't you, Captain Kidd?
Oh, yes, I remember. The stormy sea and the cracking sail. The sight of land when there is nothing but sea. That and return to the sea. Oh, how I long to return to the sea.
Captain Kidd remembers what it is to be a man, to be like Jabez Stone. And you, Governor Dale, you remember too, don't you?
Yes, I remember.
And you, Asa.
Yes, I do.
You all remember. I knew you would. Jabez Stone is a man. An American. You are all Americans. You cannot take the devil's side. Let Jabez Stone keep his soul. This soul which doesn't belong to him alone. Which belongs to his children. His family. His country. Gentlemen of the jury, don't let this country go to the devil. I rest my case.
The jury will consider its verdict.
We remember. We can never forget.
The court has reached a decision. Case dismissed.
Yep, Daniel Webster's dead now. At least they buried him. But every time there's a thunderstorm around here, they say you can hear his rolling voice in the hollows of the sky. And they say if you go to his grave and speak loud and clear... Daniel! Daniel Webster! Daniel Webster! How'd you do, Mr. Webster?
Fine, neighbor, fine. But tell me, son, the devil been bothering the people round these parts lately?
No, sir. Not for a long time.
Devil and Daniel Webster by Stephen Vincent Benet is another in a series of living fiction presented each week by Northwestern University in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. The Devil and Daniel Webster was adapted by Charles Greenblatt. The cast and directors were students of Northwestern University. Daniel Webster was played by Lowell Harris, the Devil by Richard Swift, Jabez by Ron Sims. The narrator was George Hurd. Others in the cast were Jermaine Golda, Ike Lacefield, Don Staples, Dave Adams. The assistant director was Gloria Gallagher. The director was Faith Kellogg. The entire production was under the supervision of John Cowan. This is Jim Hamilton speaking. This is NBC in Chicago.